Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
And I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
We're the best! We're the beautiful! We're the only!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome to the Back in Time podcast. This is Kyle, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how you doing today?
Generic hello to you as well.
I love that response. So, hey guys, thank you for hitting the download button on today's episode. This week we're doing Dirty Work, so we're going to jump into the teaser trailer. Please support the show. Remember to just rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. We have two new episodes every week. The teaser trailer is our shorter episode and kind of previews the coming week's full episode, which is going to drop on Wednesday. And this will be coming out on Monday. And the Wednesday show is our more lengthy show. JD, give our audience a quick glimpse into the full-length show. What do we cover on that?
So, yeah, basically, as you mentioned, it's a girthier member. We really get deep down into, into the movie itself. We talk about the trivia. We talk about the actors. We talk about anything and everything that pertains to the movie. And we give a play-by-play of it. And we comment on it. And we make fun of it a little bit. And we applaud it a little bit. And you get all of our awesome impressions.
The impressions are what everybody's coming for.
Do you guys like the impressions or no? I mean, if you've been around for a little bit and you've heard a few episodes, you've probably heard our, I think, pretty good attempts and some pretty bad attempts at impressions. What's your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, hit us up on the Twitter Back in Time podcast. Right now, up on our Twitter, we have a new poll topic for you guys. And this is going to air the second week of February. And we're going to have some special guests for that episode, which I'll talk about in a second. But here's our choices. So choice number one, Nightmare on Elm Street. JD, if we discuss Nightmare on Elm Street, what might we cover in that episode?
We might cover a little Johnny Depp getting deep and some great stringy arms in that alley scene, which always haunts me.
Yeah, we're talking early Johnny Depp, too. This is 1984 before he blows up.
I think this is his virgin. This virginal episode, isn't it?
I believe it is. Choice number two, we've got Candyman. What might we cover if the audience selects Candyman?
We might get a little bit creepy with a little bit Tony Todd spooking you in the bathroom. We're both from the Midwest originally, so we can relate a lot to the scenery. It's going to get urban.
Selection number three, we've got Hellraiser. What may we cover if we dive into some Hellraiser?
You might get a little hatred from me. Maybe we'll bring in a little Kustav Sinha to try to pitch the newest brand of Hellraiser. With the new sequel of it hitting video store shelves coming up, it'll be a good time to sort of compare what we got now to what the original did.
Hey, JD, what's a video store shelf?
Why don't you turn around and I'll show you.
Our new audience members are going, what the heck are they talking about?
No, don't you have a video shelf behind you right now?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay.
And the last choice will be Child's Play, the original that started the long string of sequels. What might we cover if we dive into Child's Play?
Definitely going to get some excitement from some the mom from Seventh Heaven. You're going to get all sorts of creepy, and it's going to ruin your childhood with the creepy-ass doll. That the whole backstory behind who Chucky is just always blows my mind.
Yeah, that was one of the scariest movies I ever saw. And I think I talked about this on a previous episode where this movie scared the daylights out of me to the point where probably for the 20 years, every time I went up the stairs at my parents' house, I would run up in fear that he may grab my ankle on the way.
And if it does happen, yeah, that's going to creep the bejeebus out of you.
So cruise over to our Twitter right now and vote on the latest poll topic. Again, the choices are Nightmare on Elm Street, Candyman, Hellraiser or Child's Play. That's starting on this Monday. If you're listening to this episode on the day it drops, it's going to run for 7 days. Get your vote in, people. JD, real quick, I'll let you sell which one you might want to watch most and have us review. What are you hoping that our audience selects?
Oh, that's a good one, because I think that the selection of movies that we came up with are, each one I think has its own little section of cult following. I'm torn between Nightmare on Elm Street, which I must say is probably one of my favorite all-time horror movies, and Child's Play, which I just have not seen in a very long time.
Absolutely. And we're going to be joining that episode by the guys over at Black Cat Shadow, which is a horror podcast. They do a lot of interviews. It's a little different style than what we do, but we're going to be on their show in February, and they're coming on ours. So we're going to be joined by a couple special guests. So they'll be interacting with us on Twitter. So give those guys a follow, and we're looking forward to bringing a couple new members into the podcast. JD, what do you think about that? We've had one guy come on, your brother, of course, who's now two episodes in. But what do you think about adding a fourth member?
I'm real excited about this. I think it's a great opportunity. I think that's the point of the podcast community, is everybody gets to really come together and support one another, and especially when it comes to horror movies. I mean, you can't have enough cookies stuffed in that cookie jar.
All right, guys, so this is the part of the episode where we're going to jump into the trailer for Dirty Work. Looking forward to getting into this. I forgot how funny this movie is. Watching some of it today. So if you're new to the episode, this is what we're going to do. Get on to YouTube right now. You're going to type in Dirty Work official trailer. It's actually by Movie Clips Trailer, and it has 25,000 views, and the full title will say Dirty Work official trailer number one, Christopher McDonald movie. Interesting title. Why do you think they went with Chris McDonald as the head of their trailer here?
I don't know. Not to spoiler alert it, but I think it's kind of the same reason as a trailer guy doesn't fully know who to identify as the stars in the trailer himself. So, I mean, it's an exciting trailer. So I'm ready to watch it. Let's just cut the shit, Kyle. Just knock it off. Shut your big yapper and let's get wild.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to give a 3-2-1 countdown. And then we'll click together here. So 3-2-1 click.
Meet Mitch Weaver.
Hey, that's my shirt.
In the game of life, he's losing his shirt.
You're not fit to wear this shirt.
Mitch can't hold a job.
You're fired.
To get a horse and live in the mountains someplace and don't bother anybody. Got a personality like a dead moth.
Mitch is no good at relationships.
I'm through wasting my life with you.
Note to self, making love to blow-up dolls, not as good as advertised.
Mitch lacks people skills.
Hey, that was really funny, sicking the cops on us like that.
I thought it was funny, but I'm surprised you guys did, because you got your asses kicked.
I guess I showed you the thing or two about dirty work.
But there is one thing Mitch Weaver is good at.
You are the king of revenge.
We should open a revenge for hire business.
I think you boys can help me.
Okay, settle down, prostitutes. You each get $20, and this requires no sex.
Well, you got a dead hooker in the trunk.
No, it can't be.
I've never seen so many dead hookers in all my life.
Lord knows I have.
Don't shoot this is not part of the commercial.
Some jerk making your life miserable. You want revenge? Let us do your dirty work. No!
Yeah! Norm McDonald of Saturday Night Live.
Hey, I think he's got his thumb up, that dog.
Chevy Chase.
What happened to your foot?
When you owe a bookie a lot of money, and you say, blows off one of your toes, you still owe my money. Doesn't seem fair to me.
For anyone too weak to fight back.
We're in prison.
You know prisoners do to each other all the time.
All right, let's go.
You sure you don't want him to?
For anyone who's ever landed on the bottom, your time has come.
You didn't count on my loyal army of prostitutes, did you?
Are you ready for some crazy rump sex?
When I say let's go, you go.
Time you shut your cake hole, you go.
Hey, movie line.
Have that with you, baby.
He was supposed to keep driving.
Dirty work.
Okay, so JD, I'm going to have you go first. What do you think of the trailer here?
So I'm just going to go ahead and first say that this is one of my like all-time hilarity comedy rainy day. I can watch Dirty Work any day of the week. But I don't think I've ever really seen the trailer. If I have, I don't fully remember it. But yeah. My gosh, am I stoked to watch this movie. Like, is it not like perfectly cut? The music is great.
They did a hell of a job cutting up the trailer. They've got a lot of the really funny scenes in there. Obviously, you got some shots of Don Rickles. You got Chris McDonald, Norm McDonald. Obviously, the late, great Chris Farley's in there. I mean, there's so many good cameos here.
Yeah, and the music is phenomenal. It's so upbeat and happy, and it just puts you into the 90s, and you're just like soaking up the sun. It's just like, hell yeah.
What are you looking forward to most as we kind of jump into the full review here after seeing the trailer?
For me, Dirty Work is one of those like instantly quotable movies that I still like even quote like little parts. Yeah. Like the stuff that even Chevy Chase's part, like why he gets billed in the trailer over Artie Lang. Like why? And Chevy Chase, like he's such a small part and he's hilarious. He's an integral part of the story.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to him. I'm looking forward to all like the little quotable tidbits. You know, for the longest time, I thought Artie Lang was Horatio Sands in this movie. Am I the only one? Come on.
Yeah, I definitely didn't catch on that. But if we have any listeners that did or agree with JD, tweet at us. At Back in Time Pod, let us know if you picked up on that reference. Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, even as we were talking about before we started the trailer, you know, the people that put this trailer up on YouTube titled it Christopher McDonald, as if Norm McDonald wasn't a big enough star for them to put on their trailer title. But yeah, Chevy Chase is, I think at that time, I mean, we're late 90s here. I think this is 98 when it comes out. We'll get into all that in a second. But I mean, yeah, it's definitely, he's kind of past his movie stardom at that point, isn't he?
I mean, I don't want to say yay or nay to that, but yeah, he is. Yeah, but he's so good in this movie, though.
Vacation movies.
Is that what you define as his movie stardom bubble after the vacation movies?
I think he's on the downward slide of his career at this point, right after Vegas Vacation, which was kind of like a moderate hit. And then he starts kind of getting these like bit parts and cameos. Even in like Orange County comes after this, but that's 2002. So he waits like 4 years before he gets another big theatrical release. Actually, I stand corrected. Snow Day's in between that, but his work is like thin after that point.
Snow Day will be a fun movie to review one day.
That'd be a good one. Yeah, I don't think we necessarily have to wait until like December to do it either. So yeah, I think the trailer's good. I'm excited to watch the movie now. Why don't we jump into some box office numbers here and kind of dive into how this movie did at the theater. So Dirty Work was released to 1,776 theaters on June 12, 1998 by MGM Studios with an estimated budget of $13 million and a runtime of 1 hour and 22 minutes. Opening weekend, it brought in $3.6 million and ranked number 9 at the box office. So not a stellar beginning to their time at the cinema here. Any thoughts on that?
I feel like this is the kind of movie that really misses its mark theatrically. And it's the whole scope of what Dirty Work is and what it represents. You know, like, what, we were 13? I mean,
right.
I don't necessarily know that, like, I understood a good many of the jokes in this movie. It's a little bit outside of the traditional schoolyard effect because, you know, that age group, we didn't necessarily get recess anymore.
Right.
And I think that I saw this movie when it first came out on DVD, and I think that's like when it started to hit stride, is when you can just get a movie straight to video. It's a blockbuster rental, and you watch it over and over and over.
Yeah, I think they're kind of at the forefront of what we started calling instant cult classics, as in went to theater, nobody really cared, but when the DVD came out, everybody talked about it.
Yeah. Like Super Troopers.
Yeah.
Because that's how Super Troopers was for me. And it's like, not that I didn't want to see it in theaters. I didn't. And then I remember buying that DVD at Target around the same time as Dirty Work.
Yeah, absolutely. So second week at the box office, Dirty Work brought in $1.7 million. It fell to number 11 at the box office, which brought their 10-day total to $7.2 million. And that was the last week at the box office for Dirty Work, as it was pulled at that point. I think it fell to maybe some secondhand theaters because they would gross another $3 million on top of that total. But that's it as far as the records go. 2 weeks and done. Do you think, in hindsight, they pulled the movie maybe too quick? Or do you think at that point they realized their audience is DVD and they just need to get it where it belongs?
I think they probably felt like they were on a sinking ship that was going down fast. And, you know, Norm Macdonald traditionally, you know, he had issues on SNL as it was in terms of working with him. Right. We have yet to mention the director, Bob Saget, who's not necessarily known for his directorial prowess.
No.
I mean, I think this movie itself is just sort of, I don't want to say train wreck, but I'm guessing that they just didn't know how to market it. And they're just, it was fishing and they had, what is it called that you put on the fish? Lures.
Bait? Yeah, lure.
Bait! They had no bait. I feel like they were fishing with no bait.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. And this movie is released after Norm Macdonald was fired from Saturday Night Live. And subsequently, because of his firing, NBC banned the trailer. So they refused to promote the film. And I think that had a lot to do with the poor numbers. Now, in a second, I'll actually get to a comment from Artie Lang on the Howard Stern Show where he kind of addresses that issue. In a second, we'll get to that. But, I mean, so their total domestic gross here is a little bit over $10 million. And, you know, one of the things here I'll kind of add in a 2008 interview on Howard Stern, Artie Lang said he went as far as to beg Norm Macdonald not to allow any changes and to keep the movie funny. Lang said the studio insisted on a PG-13 rating and moved the film's release from February to June, where it fared poorly against the summer blockbusters. So I think we have our answer. What do you think of his comments there?
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a traditional Barry job. Like they just wanted to get it away, get it out of the system, cross their fingers that they make a buck at all, and just not have to deal with a, you know, outlash from Artie or Norm.
Yeah, I would love to see the actual numbers and to know like how it did on DVD, because I have to assume they made their money back. But yeah, for poor Bob Saget, you know, this was his first big theater or theatrical job as a director, and it would be his last. Or actually, I'm sorry, I stand corrected. He did direct Farce of the Penguins, which was a film that went to theater, and he actually wrote that one too.
I remember that movie. Didn't see it, but I remember it.
He's got our boy Samuel L. as the narrator in that movie.
I would do a Samuel L. impression right now, but it would just be a bunch of words that would get bleeped out, so.
The film was released on DVD in August of 1999 for digital rental and purchase. I don't have any numbers. Like I said, I wish I did to see how it did on DVD. But, I mean, that's how I remember the film. I actually think I have a VHS copy of it, kind of old school. I do not own this on DVD, but I know you just mentioned a little bit ago that's kind of your memory of it, and I think that's where it picks up that cult following. Everything kind of comes from that release in August of 99. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I've talked to numerous other people, same story, happened to be walking through Best Buy one day or Target. That's when they used to do those DVD two packs at Best Buy.
Oh, yeah, those were awesome.
And if I'm not mistaken, I got that in Big Trouble in Little China for some reason in one package together.
That's an interesting
package.
For
like $20.
See, I would have bought it. I don't know if I would have bought it with Big Trouble in Little China, but I kind of picture it being with like Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison as like a two-pack. And obviously the other being the one that you'd probably buy it for.
So what do you think? What are you guessing? Did I buy Dirty Work and get Big Trouble in Little China for free? Or did I buy Big Trouble in Little China and get Dirty Work for free?
You're a little different. I'm going to say you bought it for Big Trouble, Little China.
You're damn right I did.
Let's do some top 10 movies at the box office for June 12th, 1998. The number one movie at that time was The Truman Show. Any memories of Truman Show with Jim Carrey?
That's a movie that I didn't see until later in life. Didn't see it theatrically. Never saw it through high school and didn't catch it until college. And so I got to see it at a ripe age when everybody's a cinephile and they sit down with their legs crossed and they're like, ooh, this movie is the greatest thing ever. And really, it's a great fucking movie.
Yeah, it's really good. And I kind of have the similar experience of you. I don't think I saw this until college or maybe even after college. Kind of crazy. It's been recently that I saw it for the first time because it's right up on Netflix right now. So if you haven't seen that movie in a long time, go back and watch it. It's awesome. And it's on Netflix if you have that. Number two at the box office that week was 6 Days, Seven Nights, which was debuting. Same as Dirty Work. Number three, A Perfect Murder. Number four, definitely going to be a future episode at some point in its debut. Can't Hardly Wait, debuting at number four. Let's stop there for a second. Are you a fan of Can't Hardly Wait? That's one of my favorite like teen comedies of the 90s.
I am a big fan of that movie. It's not my favorite teen comedy. I would definitely vote for 10 Things I Hate About You.
Okay.
But Can't Hardly Wait. It always, like, I'd always watch that movie and just imagine, like, what if I ever got invited to a party? How cool would that be?
Yeah, I know in college we never invited you to any party, so.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
But yeah, one of the reasons I really like that movie, I don't know if you ever made the correlation between the two, but the main character, his name is Charlie Corsmo, who is Jack from Hook, and he's also Kid from Dick Tracy. He's all grown up here as a teenager. Did you ever put those two together?
No. My puzzle is bare.
Okay, number five was Godzilla. Number six, Hope Floats. Number seven, Deep Impact. Number eight, The Horse Whisperer. Number nine was Dirty Work. And number 10, in week 26, and getting ready to cross the $600 million mark, was Titanic, still going strong, half a year after its release.
Dude, that's insane that Dirty Work had to compete against Titanic.
In week 26.
And what, you said Dirty Work goes 2 weeks?
Yeah, it lasted 2 weeks. I know Titanic lasted at least another like five after that, because they're still bringing in $1 million a week at that point. Crazy. How many, did you see Titanic in theaters? Cause I'll just, and I'm going to get a lot of hate for this probably. People are going to be like, whoa, this dude's weird. I saw that movie 7 times in theaters.
All right, I want to play a little game with you. That sounded weird, too. no, I never saw Titanic in theaters. Truth be told, I've only ever seen it on TBS.
Okay.
So I have not seen the full movie. I've seen all of Billy Zane's scenes, so I've seen what I need to see.
Okay.
So, but my question to you is, what movie have you seen in theaters the most times?
Titanic.
Seven.
7 times.
7 times. All right, I got you beat. Audience, I kid you not, I saw the movie Wrong Turn in theaters 30 times.
Why did you keep seeing it in theaters that many times?
One, to be fair, I worked at a movie theater at the time, so I didn't have to pay for any of them.
Okay.
But two, I was insanely in love with that movie when it came out. Like, that was, and still is, among, like, one of my favorite horror movies. I love Wrong Turn.
How many sequels are they on now?
Like 5 or 6. I kind of cashed out after the number third 6. One.
Last Resort, 2014. Gosh sakes, how many times can you make a wrong turn? At some point, you think they'd stop making that same mistake over and over, huh? I do like Wrong Turn, but that's crazy that you saw it 30 times. All right, well, I feel better about my addiction to Titanic. Let's talk some critic response here. So, JD, I'm going to have you guess the response of the film based off of Rotten Tomatoes, as we always do. And we'll also have you try and guess the critic response for the film. So let's start with the critics first. And what do you think the tomato reader says for Dirty Work?
Ooh. I feel like saying 23% is generous.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Okay, 23 from the critics. Sorry. How do you think audience rated Dirty Work, the instant cult classic?
I feel like, I want to say 46. I feel like there's probably a lot of hate still amongst all the love.
Wow. Okay, so you're going with 46.
Uh-oh. Oh, come on, lay it on me. I'm a big boy, I can take it.
All right. You were close on the critic response. That one is 17. The audience,
damn it, that
though,
was my second guess. That's like the second week in a row. My second guess. I'm from now on, I am second guessing myself in everything I do.
Was Super Mario Brothers 17 as well? I'm going to double check real quick. No, it was 15. Okay. So, Dirty Work's 2% better than Super Mario Brothers. There, it's settled. The audience did come to bat, though, for Dirty Work, and it holds a 65%, just under the Fresh rating of 70.
Well, good for you. It surprises me in that I'm surprised that that many people went to actually physically sign in and, you know, rate the movie. Like, I always get to Rotten Tomatoes, and I just get like, oh, what's my login? Oh, whatever.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Yeah, I didn't check to see how many people had rated it. So for all we know, there was like 20 and 7 people gave it a good rating. So I don't know. Actually, my math. God, we should never talk about math on this podcast, just so we're clear, because neither one of us can do math to save our life.
That's true.
Let's get some feedback from the critics, though. Unfortunately, there's zero positive ones that I could find. All the legit critics gave it a rotten rating here. So Joe Layden of Variety said, "The outrageousness isn't consistently sustained, and the pick tends to peter out somewhere around the 2/3 mark." Anything to say to Mr. Layden?
I feel like maybe he watched a different version of the movie than me. And then the rest of us fans that say, "Screw you, Mr. Layden."
I mean, 2/3 of the way through, I mean, that's the point where we start to meet our main protagonist and we get Mr. McDonald coming into the film. So I don't know how you could say it petered out at that point. That's crazy.
And who says that word? Who says that? You can't trust a man that says that. It's hogwash to you, sir. Hogwash.
Yeah, petered out. Just a terrible word. We got one more. Lawrence Van Gelder. I like that name. That could be like a villain right there. Of the New York Times said, "Don't bother to hang around for the outtakes. They weren't funny either." What do you think of Mr. Van Gelder's comments?
Man, it's a rough critical response. I guess that's why they rated it so low. But yeah. I mean, come on. He didn't think anything was funny. I challenge you, whoever you are, wherever you are, watch this movie again. You put a video of yourself on YouTube, and I want to see you not laugh once. I bet he can't. I bet you laugh. You will laugh.
The only thing I would say to Mr. Van Gelder is I'd turn very slowly to the left and just say, "You bastard." That's what he gets from me. So we're going to wrap it up for critic response. These critics, they really made me mad this week. Not one positive from the critics, but the audience score 65. I can live with that. I'm happy with the 65. JD, you happy with the 65?
Yeah, that's what matters. We the fans matter, everybody. It's you that matter. Like, that's why we come out to vote, and that's why Star Wars The Last Jedi performed so badly, because try making a better movie.
Not letting that go, are you?
No, not anytime soon.
Hey, while we have a minute, let's talk about Han Solo real quick. We're expecting the trailer to get released this week. Disney's been hush-hush. We have yet to get a trailer, and it's now Tuesday. Are you looking forward to Han Solo, or are you poo-pooed on this project?
Gosh, I feel like I'm going to say I'm poo-pooed on it. I know that it's gone through hell and back. I'm going to be brave enough to say that, like, I was not that impressed by Rogue One.
Okay.
So I don't personally buy into this whole Star Wars side story project that they're doing on properties that exist before the main 9-movie storyline that we know. You know, it's just like, to me, it's just like, they're taking advantage of the name, mm-hmm. which is exactly what Disney does and what they're known for doing, and just why they bought Fox. And that's what we're going to continue to see them do.
Yeah, I think they're at this point they're trying to cash in on Ron Howard's name to try and save it. And as great as Ron Howard is, and I love his work. I actually just watched Apollo 13 the other day, and that's a fantastic movie. I don't know that he can save this one. I think they've done too much, too many rewrites, too many cooks in the kitchen, and I'm expecting this movie to be a huge disappointment. And I hate to say that, because I really love Star Wars movies. But this might be back-to-back disappointments for the fans. So thank you guys for listening to today's episode. One more quick reminder on the poll topic right on Twitter now. You can vote on our next horror movie that's going to come out second week of February. Again, we're going to have the special guest from Black Cats. They're going to be on the episode talking with us. Check those guys out on Twitter. And the topics are, again, or the choices are Nightmare on Elm Street, Candyman, Hellraiser, and Child's Play. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you to lean one way or another. Child's Play, vote for Child's Play, you bastards. And you guys pick whatever you want. That's what we're going to review. JD, any last words on that?
Yeah, exactly. It's up to you guys. You know, you came to bat and say, let's do more horror movies. So here we go. Now tell us what you want to do, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it justice.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for listening and hitting the download button. Remember, rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Full episodes are up on YouTube. And our full episode of Dirty Work will come out on Wednesday. But for now, we're going to hop back into DeLorean, and we're going to return back to present day. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Horatio Sands.